Second hour, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We are waiting for Titans general manager Mike Borgonzi to step to the podium, speaking on the Titans' moves, non-moves, at the trade deadline. Traded away over the last month or so, Jarvis Brownlee Jr. and Roger McCreary, and then Draymond Jones traded to the Baltimore Ravens earlier this week. Titans did hold on to a couple of guys who were rumored out there. We talked about Tavondre Sweat, Jeffrey Simmons, Tony Pollard, Chigakonkwo. So likely going to get a lot of answers on what the Titans did do, and I would love to hear about he's not going to list off the offers he got, but we'd love to hear from him, and he is stepping to the podium right now. Let's head over to St. Thomas Sports Park.
Thanks for coming out. I thought it was a good opportunity here with the bye week and the trade deadline yesterday just to really talk about, the roster right now, take you into a little bit of the insight in terms of decisions we've made. And just about the team in general. And right now, the results aren't good enough right now. And we understand that. And we understand the frustration, with the fan base. And we know that we have to earn back the trust of this fan base. One of the things that was, really appealing to me when I took this job was the passion that this fan base has. Coming in here as an opposing team, you could feel that passion, that it meant something to the community, to families here. And I always said, if I'm going to go somewhere, I want to make it impactful. It's great to be in a place where people care about the team. And I've been here, close to a year now. I have young kids, they're in school. I've got to meet a lot of people in the community, and I feel their passion and I feel their frustration right now. But we are doing everything possible right now to get this right and to fix it. And we will. I believe we will at the end of the day. With all the negativity that comes along with losing, it's hard to see any positive signs. But there are positive signs. I want to really thank the coaches right now and the players for their work ethic every day and energy that they come in with every day to get better here, despite the losing. I've been around places where, we're having a tough season like this, and it's hard to come to work. And I don't feel that here. And I thank the coaches. Let's be real. This is a tough situation for them right now. They moved their families here. They want to come here to win. And, we haven't done that yet. But they come to work every day, and their willingness to work with younger players here to develop them, and I think they have developed them. I want to highlight the rookie class that we have. I think it's a special class. I really do. And not just because I was a GM who picked these players, but I do feel like it's a special class, and it's a class that we can build upon. They represent everything that we want in a Titan. From day one, they stepped in this building. Their work ethic, their passion, their drive to get better, and they are getting better right in front of our eyes. And they're all playing, and they're developing. And that's going to help us through the next 8 games here and into the future. Another thing is we have this player development program that we started here. It's really the best I've seen, and it's been spearheaded by Dave Ziegler and Bryce Wasserman. And they work with all different departments in the building to help these players develop on the field, off the field. Those are the real positive things that I see here, despite the losing, which causes a lot of negativity. I understand that. I just want to take you into some of the roster decisions, a little bit of insight on some of the trades that we made. We are in constant evaluation mode here with players, with staff. And that comes, you know, with players, it might be talent, it might be scheme fit, it might be culture fit. You know, word culture gets thrown around there a lot. So what do you mean by that? Well, it's the habits that we want to have with our players to create a winning culture here. It's the team first mentality. It's the accountability piece. It's the attention to detail piece. It's their willingness to work and get better every day. So that's what we're looking for when we're evaluating these players. And I know the first trade we made with Jarvis Brownlee was I'm aware of it. It was controversial around here because he's a young player that, you know, was ascending. And, you know, you're evaluating the fit. And without getting into a lot of details, I like Jarvis, and I think he's going to be a really good player in this league. We don't have the culture right now sometimes to help guys develop right now. And, you know, we thought at the time, you know, just some of the habits weren't conducive to building the culture right now. And I know it's hard to understand because he was a young player, and I wish Jarvis nothing but the best. The Roger McCreary trade, Roger loved Roger. Teammates loved him. You could tell they loved him. Roger's a good player. You know, it's part of the strategy when you're looking at the roster and evaluating the market in terms of, you know, he's in an expiring contract and what's it going to look like next year. And that's the piece when you draft and develop players too, that you have guys coming in here. It had nothing to do with, because I didn't draft Roger. It has nothing to do with that. You know, we found there was some interest with Roger, and it happened to be the Rams, who had owned our fifth-round pick from a prior trade, and so we thought that was good value for us. Where we were at in the draft, we were missing that fifth-round pick, so we had a fourth-round pick, which was at the beginning of the fourth, and then we had a sixth-round pick, which was at the beginning of the sixth. So that's about an 80-spot move if the draft had happened that day. So we thought that was good value, really, just getting that pick back, and that's the reason why we did it. Draymond Jones, loved Draymond. He was really coming on here the last four or five games, and I think that's why a lot of teams had called on him. And, you know, we weren't looking to move on from Draymond right now, but we also have to think about the future of this program and where we're at. And, you know, we had a chance to acquire a pick that from Baltimore that, you know, could be a high pick in the fifth and potentially could turn into a fourth-round pick. So let's hope the Ravens go to the playoffs and Draymond has two more sacks and we can get a fourth-round pick out of it. That's what the conditions were there. And just really just the youth movement, too, of the roster I want to hit on. You know, we have 11 players on the active rookies right now, two on IR with Femi and Mullings, and hopefully get them back here at some point. So that's 13 guys on the active that are rookies. Right now that's second in the league, I think, right now. I hope that's right, with New England for the most rookies on a roster. So I know there's going to be questions about the head coaching search, which is, you know, we're in the process of that, and I just don't think this is the time really to talk about that part of it. So with that, if there's any questions.
When you talk about the habits conducive with Jarvis, I know you probably don't want to get into the specifics of what those were, but can you talk us through what habits you want?
Well, I think I touched on just the accountability piece, attention to detail, you know, the willingness to get better every day. And so I don't want to specifically, you know, touching on that, because Jarvis is a great kid, and I wish nothing but success for him.
When you say that there are some times that you can't teach that culture with the program you have now.
Yeah, you know, that's hard to explain sometimes with the culture in the locker room. When you have a standard in the locker room at some point when you're winning a lot of games, when you bring a player in, they know exactly what they need to do, or they know they won't be there very long. There's a standard there. So we're trying to create a standard. And sometimes that's hard to articulate to people and the fans, but when you're in a locker room, you feel it. And when you're around a winning team, you feel it. I certainly felt it in Kansas City. Every person that we brought in there, they knew right away, you know,
if Pat and Kelsey were out there practicing every day hard, shit, I better be out there practicing every day hard. So we need to create that standard here, and we do have some pieces here. I want to highlight Jeff Simmons. Jeff has been tremendous. You know, Jeff was a player that came in this league and they were winning, and he's gone through some losing seasons here right now. And I communicate with Jeff a lot, and Jeff is a big part of why we're going to turn this thing around here. He is. He's one of the better players in the league. And his leadership with these young guys has been tremendous.
Did you talk to Dallas about Jeff, considering what Dallas gave up for Williams?
I'm not going to get into who we talked. We talked to 31 other teams for the past 3 weeks. So I will not get into any particulars of any moves that we did not make. But I will say with Jeff, just because you asked about Jeff, and I'm not going to talk about any other players here, Jeff is invaluable to us right now. To where we want to go.
When you say building for the future, though, as you did with Draymond, does that not enter into the picture with Jeff as well as your probably your most valuable asset, you know, that could be traded?
Well, you have to weigh those options, and you know, you say it's a business, but like when you weigh those options, you look at it and you say, you know, what do we have here? And he's a pillar here in this organization for what you want, and he's one of the best players in the league at his position. And the way he works every day of practice, I don't know if I've seen a defensive lineman superstar like him, you know, just empty the tank every day at practice. It's impressive. And when your best player does that and younger guys look to him, that's what you want. That's what I'm talking about being a standard.
Mike, in talking about building culture fit, obviously you drafted Cam number one overall, and you feel like he brings the intangibles you're looking for.
Yes.
That can be a franchise quarterback. But What do you see from him so far? Because it looks like he has struggled probably more than most number one overall picks should entering the league.
He looks like a rookie quarterback playing on you know, a team that had the number one pick last year. And he is he's developing, and he's developing with a lot of other rookies too as well, right? So we have two rookie wide receivers out there playing, Chim and Alec. We have Gunner playing out there. So they are learning together, and they're only going to be better because of it. And I have full confidence that Cam, because of his work, that ethic, because of his drive, that he will fix things that he needs to fix, just like every quarterback in this league, though. And I have full confidence that he's going to get there.
You promoted McCoy to interim.
Yep.
Part of the rationale there was not to disrupt the defense with Denard, not to disrupt special teams with Bones.
Yep.
Those things have been disrupted by trade. Defense certainly has been disrupted by trade.
Yeah.
Those guys seem to have a little bit more fire than Mike, who's punting from inside opponents' territory. You're getting more conservative coaching from Mike than you got from Brian. What do you think of the job that he's getting?
I think Mike's doing a great job holding everything together here under the circumstances, Paul, really. And Denard is a hell of a coach. And I have conversations with Denard all the time. And, you know, before we made these trades, it's not like we make these trades and don't have conversations. And you know, is he going to agree on all the trades? No. But I think at the end of the day, he understands it. And he understands that, that, you know, he has a job to do, but, you know, you say you got a job to do, that's your responsibility to do the job, but, you know, his willingness to still do the job is why he's a good coach.
Wouldn't you like to see things be a little less conservative, given that you guys have nothing to lose in terms of the approach from the head coach?
Yeah, I mean, you still have to make smart decisions out there. He's the head coach, and he's going to make decisions that he feels best for the team, and when there's opportunities to be aggressive, we'll be aggressive. But Mike's done a tremendous job here under the circumstances here too, of being the head coach here.
You look at Jeffrey Simmons, like you mentioned him as a top player, and you look at what Denard has been able to do, and then you trade away Draymond Jones.
Mm-hmm.
What does it say what Denard has been able to do in the last, you know, few games without Simmons, and what's left of your outside linebackers group?
Yeah, no, he's done a tremendous job. He's a great coach. We had, you know, six sacks last week, And, you know, we have Arden coming back here, hopefully here after the bye. So, you know, having Arden back and eventually we'll get Jeff here back. We'll see how he looks here after the bye. But, you know, tremendous job. The whole staff has, really. Tony Oden, his willingness to work with younger corners and guys that we claimed off the waiver wire, you know, because of losing guys from trades and, you know, injuries with Snead. So it's been difficult for them. But like I said, like they come in here every day and their willingness to work and try to get these guys better has been impressive. Because like I said, I've been in other situations before where, you know, you're losing, the culture in the building's bad. But I don't feel that here. I don't.
Some other thank you, seeing Mike, I guess, from the draft class and how unfortunate, I guess, that Femi had the injury he did that kind of halted his progress.
Mm-hmm.
What are maybe some of the other highlights from the draft class?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're all contributing. Obviously, you know, Cam's a starting quarterback in the league here that has some really good moments, really high-level throws. And once he puts everything together with some consistency, you know, which I think he will. But he's been impressive. His leadership's been impressive. Like I told you, the whole group's been impressive in terms of the leadership. You know, Kevin, you know, coming off the ACL, you know, basically under a year, and then we got him back out, had a little setback, but he's starting to play and come on, and you see flashes of it. His speed, his athleticism. And then, you know, the three guys we took in the fourth with Alec and Chim and Gunner have all contributed. And, you know, DK, I think, leads the league in all-purpose yardage right now. The punt return he had the other week, you know, you talk about a dependable player now. That's what he exemplifies. And Gunner, you've seen in flashes. And he's going to be, you know, a really good player for us in this offense. And then, you know, Jackson is on the active right now in a reserve role and just hasn't had a chance. And Mullings was doing some good things on teams before, you know, he had the ankle injury. But, you know, really happy to see their progress so far.
You talk about earning the trust back with the fan base. Mm-hmm. One thing that I think the fans don't trust is with the dynamic between you and Chad and kind of the opaqueness in terms of, you know, what your responsibility is and what Chad's responsibility
sure.
is. And when it comes to trusting this team to get it fixed, mm-hmm. Chad has been here for a lot of the recent mistakes that were made in some capacity or another. So what are the job responsibilities and why should the fans trust you and Chad to get it right?
Yeah. It's a good question. And it's a fair question. And with Chad, you know, I can go back to when we were in Kansas City. There was a few of us that were on that staff there that ended up being 2-14, I think that 2012 year. It was myself, Ryan Poles, Brant Tillis. Ryan Poles is a GM now. It's Bears. I'm here. Brant Tillis is a VP of operations with the Carolina Panthers. So what I'm trying to say is that, like, even though there's, you know, we were losing at the time, there's still really good people in the organization. I get the question. I do. And Chad is invaluable to me. Chad hired me, Amy hired me to really construct the roster. That's what they hired me for. And they empowered me to do that. And what Chad does is, you know, he has knowledge in scouting. He's got knowledge in the salary cap, strategy. Chad is really smart. And Chad supports me with all the decisions that I make. And it's no different in every other organization. You can say the titles and who's above who. You know, it's the same structure in every organization. You got the GM, you have your, you know, VP of strategy, cap, and then you get the head coach, and whatever title you want to give them, those are the three people that work together to make decisions. And there's no one person that, like, you know, if he's got the 53, this way, like, I'm gonna go rogue and just make a pick. But they empowered me to make those decisions here, you know, to draft players, to sign players, to construct the roster. So fair question. I get it, Jared. But just to give you a little insight on that.
How much input will you have in the selection of the new coach, talking, working within that framework?
Yeah. Good question, Harry. You know, we're in the process with it now, but, you know, one of the things that me and Chad have talked about, too, is, you know, the GM and the head coach work together every day. So I think it's imperative that that we make this decision, who's the best leader of this organization coming forward. I know I don't want to touch on the head coaching topic, but I do want to mention this, though. But, you know, me and Chad have had conversations, and it's important that, you know, it's a fit, not only fit for the organization. We want a leader here. I don't care if it's defense, offense, that they have a working relationship with the GM, myself. You know, we'll come together. We'll make the best decision for them.
Where has Snead been since the injury, and would you expect him to play again this season?
Yeah, I just saw LJ yesterday. He's doing great. You know, he's rehabbing. To answer your question, I don't know yet. I'm still going through the process of the rehab right now, but Jarvis is in good spirits, so.
Is that a re-aggravation of last year's injury?
It's similar. I don't know exactly what it's similar. I don't want to go too much detail into it, the medical.
There was a lot of people maybe that thought you guys might be more active leading up to the sure. trade deadline as well.
Yeah.
I wonder how much did injuries maybe to some players play a part in maybe not making more deals?
No. You know, we look at everything and the value of it and who's valuable for the team right now. And there's some guys who are on expiring deals this year that still have 8 games here to evaluate, and they've done some good things.
I guess maybe to follow, guys. Yeah, just to follow on that, I guess how much do you balance, as you said, building for the future, but you still want to have field a somewhat competitive team?
Sure, just balance that. We've got 8 games left. And, you know, if we thought there was a value there, like I said, we talked to 31 other teams. I'm not going to get into every discussion we had. And, you know, a lot of teams have called us, obviously. You know, we weren't looking to acquire players at this point. It's more for draft capital for the future. That all comes into play.
You guys plan ahead, and so you know who is on an expiring contract. You know, with room to change your mind throughout the rest of the season, who you're probably planning on bringing back versus maybe not planning on bringing back, what you're going to offer who. Mm-hmm. When you reach a deadline like this and you have in mind who maybe you don't have in the plans right now, I think some fans look at that and say, well, why wouldn't you get something, anything now for a guy that's going to walk in 8 games for nothing? How does that factor into your decision making?
You have to weigh all those options. But, you know, a lot of the guys that are on expiring deals have done some good things here. So, you know, we'll continue to evaluate them and to see if, you know, they're a fit here for the future. So we still have 8 games, a lot of games left here to evaluate them.
You talked about when you took the job about how if you took a young quarterback, you had to have a plan for the young quarterback. And
yeah.
You compared that to Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And we know the plan in Kansas City where Mahomes sat the bench. And what was the plan for Cam and how has that changed? Because I would assume that the plan wasn't to fire the coach 6 games
sure.
into drafting the quarterback.
Fair. Would Mike Tyson say everyone has a plan until you get punched in the face? There's a plan for him, and the plan right now is for him to still develop, and he has been developing. And I give credit to Nick and to Bo and to Mike on his development. That's part of it, the development plan. Now, will the offense change next year? Maybe. But in terms of the fundamentals, the mechanics, understanding how to play the position, I think we have some really good coaches here to develop them.
With the amount of cap space you're going to have next year, mm-hmm. and with the thinness of the roster,
sure.
how much are you and your department forecasting at this stage mm-hmm. what you might be doing with that money, given who's scheduled to become available?
Yeah, I mean, we're starting free agent meetings here in the early December. But we've been watching the free agents and building a board similar to a draft board with free agents in the league and trying to figure out their market value and trying to figure out our needs at the end of the season. So all that goes into it. Yeah, so, I mean, those discussions are going on right now, Paul.
How much can you do there realistically given what reaches market at the prime positions where you need help?
Yeah, I mean, we can do, you know, we have a lot of cap space. And like I said, you know, we're going to have to that's why it's hard when you have the philosophy. You have to stay disciplined to it too, Paul. And we use free agency really to – you have to fill the roster and you have to be competitive at the same time. But, you know, in the future, we want to draft and develop these guys. But, you know, there will be opportunities to – if we see a player that deems that is going to help us and we're thin at the position, we're going to attack it.
So is there a way to do both of those things? Be a draft and develop team, not want to try to buy a roster, do the thing in free agency we see teams do and fail to do, but still have so much money you have to spend?
Yeah, I mean, there's a balance to that, right? There is a balance because you have to see where the locker room's at, how many young players you have on your roster at the time. And my, I guess, experience and listen, there's all different ways to build a team. I'm not knocking anyone else on how they build their team. It's just our philosophy. It's built through the draft, and there's going to be opportunities to supplement players when you feel you have to. But you certainly want it to be, you know, having your roster consist of more younger players with that are drafted to really build the culture you want.
In terms of the roster, you talked about Jeff being a cornerstone. You talked about the rookies being building blocks. How many building blocks do you feel like you have on this roster currently? Is it 20, 15?
Those are the things we're going through right now. So you try to identify, you know, at least, you know, I think Cam is one. You know, I think some of these rookies can be. I think Jeff is one. You know, and I'm not going to go through every player on the roster, but you would try to identify maybe like 3, 4, 5 guys. And you saw that in the past with Kansas City. It's like the same 4 guys that have been there for that whole run there, right? So, yeah, I do think there's some cornerstone players here that can be part of this. Some of them are younger now and they have to develop. And we need to continue to add to that.
Thank you, everyone. Right.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
That was Titans general manager Mike Borgonzi speaking on the trade deadline and much more. We'll react to what he had to say on the other side. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. That was Titans general manager Mike Borgonzi just a few minutes ago, asked about Jeffrey Simmons. Was there enough value out there to possibly entertain a trade for Big Jeff? He said that he is a pillar of this organization and is invaluable to this team. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you, next man up, 102.5 The Game. That was one of the questions that I really wanted answered was, you know, is Jeffrey Simmons considered a long-term part of this team's future? And I think that's about as close to saying yes for Mike Borgonzi as you can get, that they believe Jeff Simmons is not just going to be the best player on a bad team, that he is going to be part of bringing this team back to being relevant. And that's important. They clearly didn't think that the value that was out there for him was worth it, even if they did get an offer similar to what the Cowboys sent the Jets for Quinnen Williams. So Jeffrey Simmons sticks around. Mike Borgonzi raves about him, the culture fit that he is. And obviously there was some more comments about the culture fit that Jarvis Brownlee was not. And those were the two big things that I think needed to be addressed in this press conference was, why didn't you trade some of the pieces? Why did you trade Jarvis Brownlee Jr.? And, you know, Mike Borgonzi's not going to come out and straight up say, hey, Jarvis Brownlee Jr. was not a good fit in this locker room. He was a cancer to this team. But I think you can kind of read between the lines and see that his work ethic, he mentioned accountability as a reason that they made that trade, and obviously was not a fit. They moved him to the Jets. I was really impressed with Mike Borgonzi in that press conference. You know, we've seen guys head out there and, you know, they're the only ones sitting up there and can kind of fold and talk themselves in circles. I thought Mike Borgonzi handled a lot of questions that were tough about Cam Ward, about his decisions, and was able to give a clear vision for what he hopes this team is able to do moving forward. And I thought his opening statement was really impressive, being able to speak to the fans and say, hey, we know this isn't good enough, and we know that you're frustrated, and we know that losing is horrible, but we are doing everything possible to get out of this hole as soon as possible. Right? Like, it's all words, and that you have to earn the fan base's trust back on the football field, but it's really nice to be able to hear somebody confidently able to spell out what the vision is for this team, and somebody that I at least listen to and trust has the best interest of this franchise in his mind moving forward.
Yeah, and speaking on behalf of Titans fans, I don't think Titans fans are mad at Mike Borgonzi, because this is his first year, and early returns are he's hit on a fair amount of these rookies. Now, there are some that we haven't seen play yet. Jackson Slater, we haven't seen a lot of Kalel Mullings. Femi Aladejo, we'd like to see more out of him. But at least the fourth rounders, you know, Gunnar Helm, Chim Dike, Alec Aomanor, there's hope that Cam Ward is going to be the guy. So I don't think Titans fans, their anger is directed at him. It's more so directed at Amy Adams-Strunk, Chad Brinker, the whole coaching situation. So he did a very good job of being candid. I don't feel like Mike Borgonzi's been candid with the media, and he did a great job of
that's
that.
That's the most we've ever heard Mike Borgonzi speak, I think. I mean, is that the first time that he's spoken to the media without Chad Brinker?
I think so.
At least that I can remember. I think that's the first time we've heard from Mike Borgonzi, and Mike Borgonzi alone in a press conference setting, and I thought he crushed it. Rand Carthon, super nice guy, but you put him up there for 30 minutes in front of the media, and he was going to flounder. It was inevitable that he could not handle that situation. Borgonzi handled everything great in that press conference, and at the very least, Titans fans, you have to feel good that that guy is in charge of building this roster. At least that's what he said. He was asked about the power structure with him and Chad Brinker, and he said that he was brought in to build this roster back up. I have trust in Mike Borgonzi. That's more than I can say from almost anybody else in a position of power in this Titans franchise. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have reaction to Mike Borgonzi's press conference, we'll get to that coming up next. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Join the Chase and Big Joe Show this Friday from noon to 3 at Reunion Township at 550 Old Lagardeau Road in Mount Juliet, a brand new luxury apartment community nestled perfectly between Mount Juliet and Lebanon. Resort style living that you deserve. For more information, go to reuniontownship.com. We'll continue to react to Mike Borgonzi's press conference on the other side and wrap up hour number two here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. Finishing up hour number two on this Wednesday. Kind of a strange hour with a long Mike Borgonzi press conference going for almost full 30 minutes out there at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park, but a lot of good stuff from Mike Borgonzi. We're going to get into some college football talk on the other side. The college football playoff rankings released last night. Vanderbilt number 16, Tennessee number 25. Memphis would be in right now despite being unranked in the college football playoff rankings. But quickly, a little bit more reaction on the Mike Borgonzi presser. Couple of texters in. 6641 says, Borgonzi handled every question with as much class as a Titans fan could ask for based on how press conferences have gone for the last 3 years. And I agree with you. I said in the last segment that Rand Carthon had his share of horrible press conferences. And I thought that Mike Borgonzi crushed that one. And winning the press conference doesn't win you any games on the field. But I think Titans fans have been looking for someone to step up and give them some sort of reason for optimism that this team is heading in the right direction. And I think Mike Borgonzi hit the perfect balance in that press conference of understanding the fans' frustration with the way the team is playing right now. Like, you've won 10 games in 3 calendar years. That's not good enough. But I think he also was able to thread the needle of understanding how Titans fans feel and trying to show them that he believes there are reasons for optimism moving forward with this team. He talked about Cam Ward, and I know there are plenty of Titans fans out there who are out on Cam Ward, and I don't understand it. You use the first overall pick on him. You can't be out on him after 9 games. But Mike Borgonzi clearly has full faith in Cam Ward. Yes, he picked him, and his job is tied to Cam Ward too, but he has seen from Cam Ward, I think, the development that you're looking for. Yes, it hasn't been consistent enough, and he said as much. He said he looks like a rookie quarterback on a team that just had the first overall pick, but I think the Titans front office, the one thing that you can tell that they are all bought in on, it's Cam Ward. And Draymond Jones even said on his way out the door, he tweeted out, the NFL's crazy, and he had a message to Titans fans, hey, give Cam Ward some time. He's going to be legit. Not something he had to say. He put it out there, and I think the Titans fans should listen to Mike Borgonzi and realize that, hey, you take a guy first overall, it's not always going to be Jaden Daniels and C.J. Stroud and their rookie seasons. And look at those guys right now. Jaden Daniels has dealt with some injury issues, but, hasn't gone into the MVP conversation. And C.J. Stroud has taken a massive step back in year three. So a good rookie year doesn't always mean that you're going to be a franchise quarterback. Lenny says, all right, after listening to Mike Borgonzi, I will give him a pass until 2027. The 2027 season is over. I like most of what he had to say, so let's make the Titans great again. I think Mike Borgonzi, if there's one person in this Titans organization who doesn't have his head on the chopping block right now, it's got to be Borgonzi. He's at least shown some promise in the 10 months that he's been the general manager, and I think he's going to be given a little bit longer of a leash to try and get this roster right. Jeremy in Clarksville asked, do we think the Titans weren't active in the trade market because they don't have players people want? How many players on this roster would start anywhere else? I think it's probably a little bit of both sides, Jeremy, of yes, the Titans don't have a ton of players who are going to draw a whole lot of value on the market, right? Like Arden Key and Chigakonkwo and Tony Pollard and these other names that were rumored out there. It's not like you're getting top 100 picks back for these guys. It would have either been pick swaps or a sixth. Maybe you get a fifth for one of those players, but it's not going to be much. So, yes, I think part of it is the Titans roster compared to almost every other roster in the league doesn't have a whole lot of players who would go and make an impact somewhere else. But I think it's also that the Titans felt like there were some building blocks moving forward, and you don't move a Jeffrey Simmons. You don't move a T'Vondre Sweat. So it's a little bit of both. I was surprised we didn't get a specific question on T'Vondre Sweat in that press conference. Maybe it's because Mike Borgonzi, after he addressed Jeffrey Simmons not being traded, said, I'm not going to talk about any other specific players who weren't moved. So maybe it was just a futile effort to try and ask that question anyway. But T'Vondre Sweat was rumored out there, and he ends up sticking around. But I think it's both. Yes, the Titans don't have a Sauce Gardner who they can go, dangle out on the market and hope they get two first-round picks back. That it just doesn't exist. But they also, I think, wanted to hold on to a guy like Jeffrey Simmons who can help build this back into a winning culture. And the players being talented is the most important part. You have to bring more talent into this team, but you have to have a winning culture too. This team has to learn how to win. And Jeffrey Simmons is a guy who has been with this team when they have won before. And I think the front office, based on what Mike Borgonzi said, they think that Jeffrey Simmons is going to be around when this team wins again. And I wasn't so sure about that, but the decision not to trade him, and from what we heard from from Mike Borgonzi, they believe that he is going to be around for a while. Brian on the text line says, my only letdown from the press conference was that he didn't openly say that Chad Brinker has been let go. Other than that, I liked what I heard. Yeah, I don't think Mike Borgonzi is going to be the one breaking that news if Chad Brinker was let go. But, I thought Borgonzi did well. He was asked about Mike McCoy, and he's not going to completely go out there and say Mike McCoy's done a bad job. He backed up Mike McCoy. I think that was the only answer that I felt like I was like, come on, Mike. Mike McCoy has not been good since he's taken over as the interim head coach. But he did say, considering the circumstances, he's held things together nicely. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to text or call our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. An enlightening press conference from Mike Borgonzi this morning, talking about some of the recent roster moves and what this team will look like moving forward as they look ahead to the 2026 season. Great to hear from Mike Borgonzi alone at the press conference, and I thought he had a lot of good answers. There will be reaction to what Mike Borgonzi had to say throughout the day on the station, but I did want to get to some college football. We got the college football playoff rankings released last night, first one of the season. Vanderbilt 16th, Tennessee 25th, and the top 12 looking very interesting as we enter early November here in Week 11 coming up. We'll talk some college football on the other side. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you on this Wednesday. Next man up, 102.5 The Game.